It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Organizers statewide held protests Friday and over the weekend, condemning Immigration and Customs Enforcement and remembering Minnesota resident Renee Macklin Good, who was fatally shot by an ICE agent on Wednesday.
Protesters and the mayor of Minneapolis say the shooting was unjustified and have called for charges against the officer. Federal officials have defended the shooting, claiming Good was intending to run an officer over with her vehicle. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said Good committed an act of domestic terrorism.
A video analysis from the New York Times contradicts the Trump administration's account of the shooting, finding that Good's vehicle appears to be turning away from the federal officer who opened fire last week.
The shooting has sparked protests nationwide and here in Wisconsin. In Madison, the city estimates around 2,000 protesters attended anti-ICE rallies Friday. And in Milwaukee, No Kings Milwaukee Area Coalition organizer Ben Dombrowski spoke to a crowd of hundreds in Cathedral Square Park downtown Friday evening.
These are our people, and we will not let ICE take our people away. Will we, Milwaukee?
WPR reporter Evan Casey was covering ICE protests in Milwaukee and joins us now. Evan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Evan, what did you see on Friday and over the weekend?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, the two bigger protests were in Milwaukee and Madison on Friday night. I was in Milwaukee. My colleague Sarah Lear covered the events in Madison. For people in Milwaukee, they met at a park at about 5:30. Speeches lasted for around 45 minutes or so. A lot of speeches focused on just anger over what happened in Minneapolis. State Representative Ryan Clancy also spoke speech. He talked about how he thinks ICE should be abolished altogether. A lot of speakers also talked about the fact that they want people to come together as a community in case Milwaukee or Wisconsin does see these large-scale operations like have happened in, Chicago and Minneapolis. They want to see people come together in case that happens so they can organize against ICE and the federal government regarding those, that enforcement. People did also march throughout downtown Milwaukee for over an hour. Friday night, it was pretty cold outside. They didn't seem to care too much. They went through the streets down Wisconsin Avenue, and it was, a lot of cars who were driving down the street, honked at them and cheered. There were some, people who obviously weren't a fan of the protests, but, there weren't really any clashes or any major regarding that. I know Madison, the event was much more, people sang there and held a moment of silence. There was a moment of silence in Milwaukee as well, but people really were just very angry about what happened in Minneapolis.
What were protesters saying about the shooting, how it affected them, and why they were showing up at protests?
Yeah, I did talk to one lady from Wauwatosa in the Milwaukee County suburb there. She said the shooting just really affected her, and she said she hadn't been the same 2 days later at that point. She was actually in tears. The demonstration when I talked to her, she's going to be really points in the nation of people who may not have been against some of these operations and against ICE. She thinks that it could be a turning point against those people now opening their eyes maybe to kind of, what they're doing. I also talked to another lady from Cudahy, another place in Milwaukee County. She said that, what else was there to do but take to the streets, basically. She was, obviously watching what happened from her couch, and she just wanted to go out and say something about it.
Evan, thanks for bringing us up to date.
Thanks for having me.
That's Evan Casey, reporter for WPR, covering the greater Milwaukee area and southeast Wisconsin. In addition to Milwaukee, there are protests elsewhere in Wisconsin, including in Madison, La Crosse, and Appleton. We're joined now by a protester in the Appleton area, Tanner Zabel, member of Hate Free Outagamie, which organized a vigil protesting ICE on Friday. Tanner, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
What message are you looking to send with this vigil on Friday?
I would say the event went incredibly well, especially considering, it was thrown together in 48 hours. There was a kind of a coexisting intention with this event where it was, to commemorate Renee Good and all the victims of ICE brutality and to show solidarity with the major actions throughout the country, but then also to, express the anger and bring people together to hopefully get organized. There's so much somebody scattered and angry people with lots of energy and ideas and motivation to take action. So, you know, organizing things like this, not only to mourn the losses of, you know, our community members, but also getting people on the same page organizationally to hopefully build something powerful enough to resist any attacks that may come to our communities.
Tanner, I think when people think of protests in Wisconsin, they think of them happening in the two biggest cities, Madison and Milwaukee. What has been the response to this and other efforts along these lines in the Fox cities?
I mean, it's been pretty similar. Like, there's been quite consistent messaging, you know, all over the state. Obviously, relatively speaking, we're much smaller, but, you know, like I said, over 250 showed up to Appleton, Wisconsin in 48 hours. So, it's been, you know, there's been quite a general consensus across the state that, at least with these events, that ICE is, you know, unwanted everywhere they go, that people are not willing to kind of rely on those like false promises of safety from, you know, the police and ICE. And that, you know, shockingly, people don't really like to see brutality from the state unleashed on their neighbors, and that they're willing to resist that and looking for routes to do so. So, you know, even in the Fox Valley, you know, the major themes are like, they don't keep us safe, we keep us safe. And of course, the very popular kind of national slogans were there too, the stop the deportations now, ICE out of everywhere, nobody's illegal, et cetera.
Tanner, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Tanner Zabel, security chair of Hate Free Out of Gamey. The group organized an emergency vigil to honor Renee Macklin Good and protest ICE on Friday. There are legal questions about if and how the officer who shot and killed Renee Macklin Good in Minneapolis could be charged for the killing. For some legal analysis, Brenna Gadar is with us, staff attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Brenna, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, protesters have called for the ICE agent who shot Renee Good to be charged with a crime. This is a federal law enforcement agent, but talking about potentially state charges. How do things work in a situation like this?
So states can prosecute federal officers if they violate state criminal laws. There is immunity for federal officials in some circumstances, but they don't have blanket immunity as some federal officials have been claiming.
Right. Hennepin.
So they only have... Go ahead.
A Hennepin County prosecutor in Minneapolis said the ICE officer who shot Renee Good does not have complete immunity. Vice President J.D. Vance is one of those officials you mentioned saying Ross does. How does immunity work? What are the limits to the immunity a federal agent might have?
Federal officers only have immunity if they are acting in a way that is authorized and their actions are necessary and proper in fulfilling their federal duties. So the idea is that states can't prosecute you if you're lawfully and reasonably carrying out your federal job. Where states can prosecute federal officers is if they violate federal law or act unreasonably in carrying out their duties. And those cases we've seen for more than a century here of states bringing those cases and getting those cases to actually go to trial.
You wrote a piece online for Slate.com sharing some of those precedents, as you mentioned, going back at least a century. This isn't something, as I understand it, though, Brenna, that happens very often, is it?
No, especially today. We see these types of prosecutions arise most often when there's periods of friction between the states and the federal government. So, for example, in disputes over enforcement of the Fugitive Slave Act, or conversely in integration and desegregation efforts, or in the Prohibition era when there was intense conflict between states and the federal government. And we seem to potentially be entering a similar time, but for a number of decades now, we haven't had that type of friction happening.
In that piece I mentioned, you write that this might be a state prosecution, and this is a huge maybe, but if this were to happen, there's a good chance it would actually end up in the federal court system. Why is that?
That's correct. Federal officers have the ability to move cases that are brought against them in state court to federal court if they have a plausible or reasonable federal defense that they can make. Here, the officer would likely claim immunity under federal law, so would probably be able to get the case into federal court, even if they ultimately don't succeed on the immunity claim.
Now, one wrinkle here is Minnesota officials initially said, hey, the state and the FBI are going to be coordinating the investigation here, but then said, hold on, no, the FBI is claiming exclusive jurisdiction and freezing Minnesota law enforcement agencies out, as they described it. what would that mean for a possible investigation for a prosecutor to look at and consider filing charges?
That's definitely going to complicate the process for fact gathering and prosecutors being able to decide if they have enough evidence to be able to bring a case. The state can and is still going ahead with its own investigation and collecting evidence. But if that information isn't shared from the FBI, there are some concerns about whether they will be able to compile a robust case and make an adequate charging decision here.
Could what happens in Minnesota and any decision made to prosecute in that state end up being a precedent as we see other states having concerns about the actions of ICE and other border enforcement agencies within their boundaries?
Definitely. Any case that is brought by a state will really sort of set the way and lead the way in terms of how other states are approaching this. Like I said, in the past, we have seen these cases brought with much more frequency during certain periods, particularly the Prohibition era. States were bringing these cases regarding excessive use of force pretty frequently. And so if a state does bring those charges, I think it could set the precedent for other states to bring similar charges going forward.
A state like Wisconsin, Brenna, we're not having this conversation right now. Do you imagine that state attorneys general and local prosecutors are brushing up on the kind of laws we're talking about right now in case this becomes an issue?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think, you know, this is definitely something that folks are interested in and trying to brush up on, as it's something that we haven't seen as much in recent years, because where the federal government is willing to investigate and, if necessary, prosecute a crime or an excessive use of force incident involving a federal officer, then there isn't really this need for states to step in and take that action. But where the federal government isn't pursuing that, or there's a concern that the federal government wouldn't pursue that, then that is where we see states step into the void. And so that's where we might see this arising more than it has in recent years.
Brenna, thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Brenna Goddar, staff attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at the UW Law School. Earlier, we heard from Tanner Zabel, protester in the Appleton area, and WPR reporter Evan Casey.